All right, everyone, thank you all for coming. So today I will be talking about the comparative responses to essential oils by the Oblique Banded Leaf Roller and Roseapple Aphid. And this is actually building on previous research that I presented at last year's meeting in San Diego. Just to give a bit of a brief introduction, the Oblique Banded Leaf Roller and the Roseapple Aphid are serious pests of apple in the southern interior of British Columbia, as well as throughout apple crops in North America. The Oblique Banded Leaf Roller causes feeding damage on apples, which can lead to considerable losses, while the Roseapple Aphid tends to impede fruit drop both naturally and by the use of chemical thinning agents. You can also end up with malformed fruit, and the other key thing to note with Roseapple Aphid is that the alternate host is plantain, which is a common weed that you'll find in your lawn and in various places, and this is to distinguish it from the plantain that's like a banana. The reason why I mention this is because this is actually the host that we're using for rearing the Roseapple Aphids in the lab. And what we try to do is to see, well, what can we use essential oils for controlling these two pests? And the reason why we wanted to look at this is because essential oils do have demonstrated insecticidal activity, and they are both NOP and OMRI approved. So we had four major objectives for this research. Basically, we want to look at expanding on the research that we presented last year's meeting, where we did a screening analysis of 17 essential oils, and from this we determined that patchouli and white thyme oil were the most effective against the Oblique Banded Leaf Roller, and all three of these were effective against the Roseapple Aphid, and in both cases patchouli oil was the most effective. So we wanted to see, well, what are the actual LC50 values, and is there any impact of changing our application system to a topical application? We also wanted to look at, because we're using artificial diet for the leaf rollers and we're using the plantain for the Roseapple Aphids, what are the effects of diet on toxicity? And because resistance management is a concern for a lot of growers, we wanted to compare the comparative toxicity between the susceptible and the insecticide tolerant strains of the Oblique Banded Leaf Roller. And finally, it's great to know, okay, well, we apply the oils, we might get some mortality, but what are the actual symptoms of toxicity? Because this can really give us a little bit of an indication of mode of action and so on. So what we did, at the last meeting, we presented the results from the 17 essential oil screenings, and this was done using spray applications. Well, we repeated the spray applications again for calculating the LC50s, and then we used a topical application using essential oils in acetone, and that was for the LD50s. Assessed mortality at 24 hours, and then we used probit analysis to determine the respective values. The other thing that we did was we looked at the observation of symptoms at various time intervals up until the 24-hour period. Getting straight into the results, as you can see, the key thing to note here is that patchouli oil is twice as effective as thyme oil for the Oblique Banded Leaf Roller and twice as effective as the citronella oil for the Roseapple Aphid. The other thing to note is that we reared the Roseapple Aphid on apple leaves as well, and we determined that there really isn't any difference whatsoever in the toxicity for the patchouli oil. So that was kind of a good thing to see. Looking at the topical results, again, patchouli oil was most effective for the leaf roller, but we saw something a little different. That result was not twofold. It's less pronounced of a result. And then, interestingly, when we did the test with the Roseapple Aphid, we actually saw that white thyme oil was more effective, which was contrary to our screening test. So we're going to have to see what the effect is on the actual LC50, but something looked a little weird there. So that's kind of an interesting result. The other thing that we brought up was, again, looking at rearing the leaf rollers on apple leaves, no significant difference from rearing them on artificial diet. So again, that was a good thing. And picture on the left here is a picture of a third instar leaf roller that was treated with patchouli oil, and we can see what appears to be oxidized hemolymph. And then we have on the right a picture of the rosy apple aphid, and I don't know if you can see it. Oops. Don't know if you can see it, but there's some modeling on the back here, and it looks like there's some cuticle disruption, so maybe some melting of the cuticle by the oils. Looking at the insecticide tolerant strains, we used a strain from Summerland Research Center, which was an azimfos methyl tolerant strain. And we, as you can see, there is a little bit of tolerance, an additional tolerance that is given by this, or protection that is given by these strains, but it's not a big level of protection. Looking at the actual symptoms, we wanted to see, okay, well, what actually happened? So we looked at paralyzed, the number of leaf rollers that were actually paralyzed, the number of leaf rollers that were convulsing and showed uncontrolled movements, and then we did a combined analysis of these two. And the key thing to note here is that the response is actually very rapid. We saw convulsions and uncontrolled movements within 30 seconds post-application, and then that rapidly turned into paralysis. But then a really interesting thing that happened at around, well, in this case, about the 30-minute mark, is that we started noticing some levels of recovery. Now, this one was with patchouli oil, but when you look at thyme oil, we again see very similar response. We do get that recovery again, although the recovery holds off a little longer. So it was kind of an interesting thing, and it just goes to show that we really need to watch how long we're using as our to check our mortality. Now, I thought this would be neat. You get to see the actual example, or you get to see the train. Well, now let's see what happens in time. And this video has been edited for length. These were also treated at 10 micrograms per insect. The key thing, you saw the immediate defecation, and this was consistent in all of the leaf rollers. After about 20 seconds, the insect starts crawling and had some difficulties, crawls for about 30 seconds, and then begins a kind of a confused searching behavior. Then it just kind of starts to stop at around a minute and 5 seconds. At about a minute and 17 seconds, we get this next result, and kind of a last convulsion. And then we get this back arch here. And this back arch is actually really neat, because this showed up on over 90% of the leaf rollers that were treated with thyme oil at this concentration. And interestingly, on those treated with patchouli oil, it actually went the opposite direction, and the leaf rollers actually curled inwards. Showing on the aphid, a little bit of a different result, but again, very similar, a little faster, and this one is in real time. And this was at 6 micrograms per insect. See, within 11 seconds, we get fluid being exuded from the cornicles, and legs start splaying out, and the insect is obviously developing paralysis. The exudate comes out for about 40 seconds, but that's pretty much done at around 25 seconds. The insect stops moving, and that's pretty much it. So very fast responses to these oils, especially in the topical applications. So the conclusions, well, we found that patchouli oil was twice as effective in the lethal concentrations in the LC50 assays, but those effects were not as pronounced with the topical applications. Also, it's very clear that the method of application can affect the response. So this seems to indicate that the carrier system that you're going to use is important in the delivery. We also noticed that there was a little bit of a protection given by the use of the azimfos methyl tolerant strain of Carystina rosaciana, so, or the bleak-banded leaf roller. So there does seem to be a little bit of cross-resistance, but it is minimal. And the initial response, as you saw, was quite rapid, and some recovery can occur within 1 hour post-treatment. Now, these 2 points actually seem to suggest that there's quite likely evidence for the role of detoxication enzymes in these insects, and especially in the oblique banded leaf roller. So my continuing research is actually going to be looking at what are the putative roles for these detoxification enzymes. And with that, I would just like to acknowledge these funding sources and also in particular the Smurl Lab for providing the insecticide tolerant strain to us. And thank you very much. I actually looked at 4th Instar as well, and there, when you do the topical applications on the 4th Instar, you do see that it does take a little bit more to kill them, but actually not that much. I was kind of surprised. I expected it to take a lot more. All the LC concentrate, or all the spray applications were actually done with 1st Instar larvae, so the expectation is that in the field we'd be seeing most of the spraying would be targeting the 1st to 3rd instars. So,
spray applications you made with
yes.
Sorry. Is the Tween 80, is that organic? Is that National Organic Program operating there?
In Tween 80, it actually, I believe it is.
The question
is whether or not Tween 80 is NOP or OMRI approved. I believe it is. It is one of the most common surfactants, and it is actually used in food production. So I'm fairly certain that it is approved. But coming from BC, I actually know more about the BC certified organic regulations. There is a company called EcoSmart that is actually working with a lot of these essential oil emulsions, and they work with various surfactants. We just use Tween 80 because it's one of the easiest. All right, thank you very much.